5 o'clock hour, the Burns and Gambo Show. Let's get right into our top story of the day as we're live from the Yongching Community Studios. You heard Sarah mention it in the Sports Center update. City of Glendale, about 1 o'clock this afternoon, released a statement in which they informed everybody, they had informed the Coyotes, that this was to be their final year at Gila River Arena. Quote, with an increased focus on larger, more impactful events and uses of the city-owned arena, the City of Glendale has chosen to not renew the operating agreement for the Coyotes beyond the coming season. The city has informed the Coyotes that the upcoming season will be the team's last in Gila River Arena. The parties have been operating under a year-to-year agreement. The agreement provides that either party can decide not to renew the agreement, provided written notice each year on or before December 31st. So Glendale's basically saying,
yeah,
you've got 1 year and you're out.
We own, you rent, we're kicking you out.
Yes.
Here's your what happens when they give you, when you rent and they give you a piece of paper?
Your eviction notice?
Oh, there it is, eviction notice. Whatever it is. Yeah, you got a certain amount of, you got 12 months.
Bye.
Yeah. And then you got to go.
See ya. You're out of here.
This is unexpected. I think many of us thought that the Coyotes would just continue to play at Glendale until they found another solution. We know that Glendale is not the long-term solution for them. It can't be.
Right.
They can't make any money there. They can't be successful. It's a losing venture. It always has been. It's a shame, but it is. It's a nice arena. It's a nice arena, but it's just can't make money there. It's just too far away from where their fan base is. They want them. This goes back so long ago. This goes back to Scottsdale and Los Arcos when they were trying to put that together. You know, when they were trying to make, you know, when Steve Ellman was the owner, and Steve Ellman was the owner that actually took them to Glendale and got the deal done with Glendale. And at the time, it seemed like, okay, maybe this could work. It just hasn't worked. It's just never worked for them in Glendale.
No, it's never worked for them in Glendale. And so now, I mean, there's so much here to unpack with the story, and we've been trying to unpack it over the course of the day. I'll tell you what the Coyotes had to say about it and what Gary Bettman had to say about it in just a minute. But let's kind of run through some of the options right now for the Coyotes. They're talking about building a new arena in Tempe. Tempe would pay for the land to be cleaned up, and the Coyotes would pay for the arena. There have been no plans drawn up, no shovels in the dirt, nothing that would make you think that's happening anytime soon. So while that might be a long-term solution for the Coyotes to stay in the Valley, it's certainly not a short-term solution. You're talking about 3 to 4 years out before that's reality. So if Glendale sticks to their guns and kicks the Coyotes out after a year, they would either have to A, find a short-term solution in the Valley until the Tempe thing becomes reality, or B, leave the Valley altogether. There have always been rumors about the Coyotes leaving, whether it's Houston, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's Austin, whether it's Quebec City. I mean, there's never any shortage of rumors about the Coyotes leaving. But if they don't want to leave and they want the Tempe thing to happen, and if Glendale sticks to their guns, then they're going to have to find somewhere else to play until Tempe gets built.
And they don't know where that is. I've talked to people in the organization. They don't know where that is. They don't know where that is right now. Maybe the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. You know, maybe you try to negotiate with Glendale. But if Glendale doesn't want to negotiate, it takes two to negotiate.
Right.
If Glendale is adamant that this, we're going to get rid of you before you get rid of us, then I just don't know if that's going to happen. You could try, but then again, I mean, to go back to Glendale, you've got to pay them more money. You don't want to pay more money. You're already losing a lot of money. So, the Suns, the footprint center, it's not going to work. Okay, it's not configured for hockey. They're not going to want hockey there. It's just not going to work there. I don't see that as an option. ASU, I don't see that as an option. That's a 5,000-seat arena that's not even fully built yet. So you're very limited in where you could play. I'm sure they're going to find somewhere. I just don't know where it is.
Now, I'll read you the statement from the Coyotes. This is from Javier Gutierrez. Quote, we are disappointed by today's unilateral decision by the city of Glendale to break off negotiations on a multi-year lease extension agreement. We are hopeful that they will reconsider a move that would primarily damage the small businesses and the hardworking citizens of Glendale. We remain open to restarting good faith negotiations with the city. Most importantly, the Coyotes are 100% committed to finding a long-term arena solution here in Arizona, and nothing will shake our determination to do what is right for our organization, residents in the entire Valley, and most important, our fans. Close quote. You know, I read this, Gambo, And I keep thinking more and more, I'm having a hard time blaming the city of Glendale for doing what they did today. Because all along, for the better part of the last year, all we've heard is it can't work in Glendale. It's not going to work in Glendale. They can't be in Glendale. They need to be somewhere other than Glendale. And after a while, Glendale's probably like, well, then what are we doing this for? If you've already decided we're not your long-term solution, we're not your long-term partner.
You want to go as long as you can, getting as much revenue as you can before that becomes a vacant, empty building.
I understand. But then part of today's story is the report from The Athletic, in which they commissioned an economic feasibility study, Glendale did, and they concluded that if they can just draw 20 events that draw 10,000 or more people, they will make exactly the same money as they'll make with 43 Coyote games. Now, if that's legit, if that's real, I don't blame Glendale one bit for saying, you're going to break up with us 3 years from now, for you're going to leave us 3 or 4 years from now. Let's move on without you and start our future without you, because one way or another, we're going to have a future without you. You've made that abundantly clear. Your commissioner has made that abundantly clear that hockey cannot work in this building and cannot work in this city. So let's figure
so
out how we, what are we doing? What are you, you're not going to marry us. So why am I not dating anybody else other than you? You've made it clear you don't want to marry me.
Let me open those days up for concerts.
Yeah.
Let me open those days up for any events that we can get.
You've made it clear you don't want to spend the rest of your life with me. So why am I still dating you? I should start dating other people. I should start going out with other people. And I think that's kind of what Glendale has done. Now, it puts the Coyotes in an awful spot. I read you their statement. Gary Bettman was on WFAN in New York today when all of this went down. And he said, look, I think the whole thing is a big negotiating ploy by Glendale to get the Coyotes to come back to the table.
First of all, I don't think the Coyote franchise is going anywhere. I think the city of Glendale is negotiating. There's no secret that Alex Morello, who's the owner of the Coyotes, is looking at his options to build a new arena somewhere else in Greater Phoenix. And I think the city of Glendale basically said to the Coyotes, you have to sign a 20-year lease or we're not going to renew. I just think they're just negotiating. I'm not worried about the Coyotes. I think their future stays in the greater Phoenix area.
And of course, the Coyotes don't want to sign a 20-year lease to stay in Glendale. They're losing $35 million a year
or more
in Glendale.
At least.
If not,
at least,
yeah, more than
least.
That. I said it before, I'll say it again. The metaphor I like to use, and I'm thinking in particular of this, I won't say where or what the restaurant is, but there's this spot in Gilbert, and every 9 months or so, a new restaurant goes in the same spot, and it fails. Then somebody else comes in, and they put in a restaurant, and it fails. And they've tried 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. I've lost track now of how many restaurants have gone to this particular spot.
We've got areas like that now, Atuki.
And have tried to make it work. My sister-in-law coined the term haunted. That spot is haunted. You just can't make it work there. There are times when the Coyotes feel haunted. It's been 20-plus years that we've been talking about this with them. It's just
owners and bankruptcy and
arenas. And we're going to put it here. No, you're not. We're going to put it there. No, you're not. It's been going on for two decades now, and you just wonder how many more restaurants are going to try that plot of land. Oh, no, we can make it work. It's going to work with us before you just kind of give up. And I don't want that to be the option, but it's been 20 years, Gamble, that this has been trying to work in this market.
Been quite a few times throughout their history, we say, okay, this is really their last shot. This is their last chance. From the time Wayne Gretzky apparently saved them till now, I think that this really might be their last shot. I think that this Tempe thing, if it doesn't happen, and I'm not saying it's a long shot, but it's not going to be easy to get the Tempe thing done.
Yeah.
But if that thing doesn't happen, I think that, and I would not, I mean, listen, if I'm them, I'm exploring all my options right now, including relocating, because I've got to make sure that I've got a place to play.
All right, don't forget, we are in the middle right now of a triple match for Phoenix Children's
Hospital.
That's right, we
are. That's big time.
It's the 5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo Show. We were going to roll out the triple match tomorrow, but we cheated the system and we decided to do it today. It's just the
Don't tell the bosses,
no,
please.
No, it's the power that we have here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We're kind of a big deal.
Don't tell Ryan Hatch or Scott Sutherland, they don't know this. We're doing a triple match.
Doing a triple match when you call the Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602-933-4567.
Your money really is tripled.
602-933-4567.
100 becomes 300. A champion of hope, your $20 becomes 60. No doubt about it, your money is truly tripled if you call and donate right now.
When we come back, J.J. Watt is coming to the Cardinals with the hope of regaining his once dominating form, and to do so, he went back to his roots during his offseason workout process. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Cardinals and the Chiefs tomorrow, 5 o'clock, national TV audience. They're going to be on ESPN. Pre-game coverage just knocks us right off the air tomorrow. Pre-game coverage starts at 1:30 in the afternoon. So there is no Burns and Gambo show tomorrow.
What?
I know. That's a three. We're forcing you to have a three-day weekend. I think the proper word is thank you.
Okay.
I think for me the proper phrase is you're welcome. Yes.
Listen, not for nothing, but days off have been very hard to come by this year.
Yeah.
Very hard to come by.
Not for nothing. A three-day weekend is, I mean, hey, look, we love doing the Burns and Gambo show. Someone's going to throw me a three-day weekend. Going to take it, you know? To be honest with you about it. So tomorrow, it'll probably be the closest thing we get to the most we're going to see the starters. Cliff has kind of already suggested that preseason game number 3 is not going to be the one that's going to be the dress rehearsal game like it typically is. It's the final preseason game because there's only 3 of them. So maybe this might be the one we see the most starters in. We won't see J.J. Watt, obviously. But, man, Jim Trotter of NFL.com, he wrote a terrific story about J.J. Watt today. And the two big takeaways, number one, defensive line coach Brenston Buckner, who was quoted in the piece as saying it's his goal to try to convince J.J. Watt that 65% snap count is what he should be aiming for, not 90%. I'm going to try and convince him to play about 65% of the snaps just to keep him fresh and healthy throughout the course of the season. And number two, maybe even bigger than that, is this idea that over the last 2 years, J.J. Watt stopped training with his personal trainer and did what the Houston Texans wanted him to do training-wise. And he felt like that was a very conservative approach to his training and that it might have robbed him of some of his aggressiveness on the field. And after the last 2 years, he decided to go back to his personal trainer to train fearlessly so he plays fearlessly on the field. So really interesting revelation, I thought, about J.J. Watt and how he's going about this season.
So he followed the Texans' plan for keeping him fresh, keeping him playing at a high level, but he felt it didn't. It took a little bit of his edge away from him.
Yeah, that mentally.
It took his edge away from him.
Yeah, it took his edge away. And so he's looking to regain not only his physical edge, but his mental edge, because he feels like that conservative style of training robbed him of that the last
couple
of
years. Don't go so hard. Save your... Listen, training at a high level, you know, you beat your body up is what you're doing. But you're beating your body up to a point where, okay, now your body's used to it and can handle it and it's ready for it. And they may have very well said to him, let's not beat your body up the way, you know, you normally do and preserve your body. And he wants to beat his body up because that's how he feels he gets the most out of his body. I totally understand what he's saying.
He's quoted in the story, quote, I said to myself, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but we're going to do it. I don't want to go out on the field and be half the player I'm supposed to be or a conservative version of what I'm supposed to be. I need to be who I'm supposed to be, and if I can't, I can't. They even tell a story about there's like an air pressure squat machine, and he had a previous incident on that. He didn't like the idea of using resistance bands, So his personal trainer said, fine, no resistance bands, we'll do chains instead. And that appealed to his sense of aggression and fearlessness. And just that little fix allowed him to train harder, to remove some of those mental doubts, some of that hesitancy, and just be J.J. Watt. Now, whether any of this makes any difference on Sundays, I don't know. We'll see.
Mentally, in his mind. So in his mind, if he feels like, I'm training the way I used to when, look, he was three-time defensive player of the year, and he's 32, and he's getting up there in age, but he still has a lot left to give. What did he play, 91% of the snaps last year for the Texans?
91%.
The Cardinals will limit that. They'll limit him to try to keep him fresh, but I think it's your mind. It's, you know, if he's training the way he feels he's getting the most out of it, it's just, you know, then in his mind, everything will be right. If he was doubting his training, if he was doing resistance bands and air squats and stuff that he just wasn't very comfortable with or didn't like, then he might doubt himself when he gets out there. It really is all very understandable.
Brenston Buckner is quoted in the story, quote, I've told him you've got capable young guys, so let them eat some of the snaps. I've told him he's got to be able to trust me that every guy in our room is going to have a role, and one role might be for a guy to take 10 snaps off JJ in the run game. He wants to get Watt's snap count in the 65% range rather than the 90% range.
Now, there's different ways to do this. Like, you can't go in with a, hey, listen, this is what we want to do. You know, hey, I'm sure Torrey Lovello wanted to keep, you know, pitch counts at a certain level for certain players, you know, and eventually you scrap that. You might go in and say 65% is where we want to be, and it ends up being 75%. If you're in a lot of close games, he's probably going to have a high snap count. Now, you can give him breaks on games that are out of hand. Hey, well, you know, we're going to give you the fourth quarter off. Like, think about the Suns. Hey, you're winning a game by 25 points. Sit Paul and Booker out in the fourth quarter. You don't need to play him.
Right.
You could think this, do the same thing with an NFL game. J.J. Watt plays a lot of snaps, but after three quarters, you're up by 22 points, and you decide, you know what? I don't need to play J.J. Watt right now. J.J., you're going to sit the fourth quarter out. Team goes on a 7-play drive. That's 7 less snaps. They get the ball a second time. They have an 8-play drive. That's 8. That's 15 snaps now. So there are ways to take snaps off of him. But there's going to be games when you're going to want a lot of effort out of J.J. Watt because it's a close game against the Rams or the 49ers or the Seahawks. It's a division game. There's a lot on the line. And you're going to need him to play 90% of the snaps in those games.
All right. Don't forget, the Desert Financial Phone Bank is open. Giveathon week for Phoenix Children's Hospital. 602-933-4567. We have completely cheated the system. Tomorrow was supposed to be Triple Match Friday. We don't have a show tomorrow. So Triple Match Friday is actually Triple Match Thursday on the Burns and Gambo show.
35 minutes left in this triple match. It's only going until 6 o'clock. You have a chance to have your money tripled. We don't get to do this very often, but there is a triple match right now. It really does mean if you donate $100, it becomes $300. If you become a champion of hope, your 20 becomes 60. Call the Desert Financial Phone Bank at 602-933-4567. I'll give you that number again, 602-933-4567, and get in on this triple match.
If the Phoenix Suns wait until the season to fill their final roster spot, what kind of options might be available, and what will they need to do to bring them to Phoenix? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, live from the Auction Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Phoenix Suns. The offseason continues. Most of the heavy lifting has been done, though you never know. There are still mechanisms in place for the Suns to add a player if they want. Half of the mid-level exception is available. The biannual exception is still available as well. One's worth about $4.5 million a year. The other's worth about $3.7 million per year.
Yes.
So if they want to sign a player beyond the veterans minimum, they've got mechanisms in place to be able to do that. Or they could wait if they wanted to. They could wait until the season starts. They could wait until the buyout market starts to take place or the trade market starts to take place. There's really only one glaring thing they haven't done yet. And that's a backup power forward to Jay Crowder, who can provide the kind of physicality, defensively speaking, that he brings. Nothing against Cam Johnson. He doesn't really bring that to the table. They could probably use another body on the roster to provide depth at that spot.
Yeah, they're going to use Cam quite a bit at the backup power forward spot the way things are going right now. Now, look, their options are, you know, you could do guys on two-way contracts right now. You could do a two-for-one trade at some point where you could take two guys back by leaving that roster spot open. If a team is trading you, if you're trading a player making $10 million a year for a player making $4 million, you could take another player making $4 million to make the trade work. So you could take back a two-for-one by leaving that roster spot open. And as we've said all along, there's always waiting until the buyout market and being in a position of strength. That position of strength is, you know, if you leave everything the way it is right now, you have the ability to offer a player who gets bought out more money than a team that can only offer the veterans minimum. I could offer you more money by a million and a half because I have it. I could also offer you, because of the buyout, I could offer you a two-year deal. I could give you a two-year deal when somebody else may be able to only give you a one-year deal. So it does give you a little bit of leverage,
yeah,
you know, that you may have over other teams because you have options that some of those teams or most of those teams are not going to have.
Yeah, you've got a certain amount of power that other teams just don't. And the Suns, it's kind of similar to what, in my mind anyway, it's similar to what happened last year where sort of once we established around the trade deadline that the Suns were good, that the Suns were going to the playoffs, and that the Suns had a chance to compete for a deep run in the playoffs, the one thing they were missing was a backup center to DeAndre Ayton, and they chose not to address it. And for most of the playoffs, they were fine not to have addressed that until they got to the finals. And then in the finals, it was pretty apparent they needed a backup big man specific for that matchup. You never really know what you're going to need until you need it. So let's say they wait.
They needed Hakeem Olajuwon.
Well, okay.
In the finals, in his prime, is what they needed to help with Giannis.
They weren't going to get, but
they weren't going to get Hakeem.
You know what I mean? I mean, with Dario injured, and even if Dario had been healthy, I think he would have helped. But another body to take 12 minutes off of DeAndre Ayton, I don't know if it would have changed the tone of the series.
Could Dennis Rodman have helped?
It would have helped. It would have. Do you think that it would not have helped to have a backup big man on that roster?
No, I don't disagree with you, but I just think Giannis was, man, it was just not. It was not much that any. You know, people talked about, oh, can you play Jalen Smith? There was nothing that Jalen Smith would have
been
able
to do. I'm not talking about Jalen Smith. I'm talking about a body that wasn't on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, could it have helped? Sure. Would it have made a difference in who wins the series? Probably not. Do I think the Suns would have won the series if they had a backup center? No.
But it would have helped.
Yeah, I think it would have helped.
It would have helped. And so, if you truly have a championship caliber team, don't put yourself in a position to regret not adding help when you need it. And so, you go into this season, and let's say everything is status quo. And I don't know, maybe it won't be. Maybe Paul Millsap, he hasn't signed with anybody yet, has he?
No.
Okay. Maybe Paul Millsap decides, you know what, on second thought, I do want to go play for the Suns on a two-year deal for what's left of the mid-level exception, or a one-year deal on what's left of the mid-level exception. Maybe that satisfies that part of the equation. But there are, and you mentioned this in your email to me today, three names that at least one website is saying should be considered for potential buyout guys if it gets to that point.
There were five names. Evan Sittery, who does a good job, Basketball News, he had five names. I put three in there. One of the names was Rajon Rondo, which I really don't see happening. The other one was Kevin Love, you know, and people tie Kevin Love because of, you know, the connection with James Jones, and they like playing together and stuff like that. So Kevin Love and Rajon Rondo, the names I put out there in the email to you, the three names on this list that make more sense: Thaddeus Young, Tristan Thompson, Derek Favors. Whoever they get is going to have to be a defensive-minded player. That is going to be the priority for James Jones, a defensive-minded player. You know, Favors can rebound. He's got some defensive versatility. Tristan Thompson, you know, he's a good rebounder, and he gives you some toughness. And, of course, Thaddeus Young gives you length and defense as well. So all three of those guys make a lot of sense. I guess you could throw Kevin Love in there with the rebounding, but I just don't know that he's got the versatility defensively that maybe some of these other guys have. But, you know, these are names that you start to think about the potential buyout market and guys that could get bought out, and the Suns could be big players in that.
Thaddeus Young is a guy we've talked about
a couple times,
yeah, a lot, you know, as somebody who might be available potentially now before that. Do the Suns have the assets to be able to make a trade like that work. I don't know if they have them now or not. I guess it would probably, a lot of that would depend on how intrigued San Antonio would be by Jalen Smith and whether they look at him as perhaps a young building block guy that they can kind of develop and work on and things like that. I know, Thaddeus, you've talked about Thaddeus Young a couple of times. A lot of fans have focused on Paul Millsap. Look, the problem with all these guys, if it's the buyout market, we're talking about a while before something like that potentially could happen. They would all be intriguing names. They're all depth guys. None of them would play a starting role. And again, we're talking about a very specific set of skills you're looking for. You're looking for a backup four to come in off the bench for Jay Crowder to defend a guy who's too physical for Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson to handle, right? That's pretty much what you're looking for here.
Somebody, you know, you've got length, right? But like Frank Kaminsky, who's back, is not a good defensive player.
No.
So he can play the four or the five, but he's not going to help you defensively. McGee and DeAndre, I think, are pretty set at center. Now, you could maybe Monty gets creative and has some lineups where both guys are on the court at the same time, a Twin Towers type of thing, Ralph Sampson, Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, I don't know that that happens, but I mean, it's an option you could look at for certain matchups. But I think that eventually you want to end up with a power forward that can give you some physicality and toughness, because that's what you want. It's going to have to be a defensive-minded guy, and you're in a position where some of these players get bought out, I think you've got a good chance to get them based on what you can offer.
It's time for your Vizzy What's On Tonight, brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C. Proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. They are not on
tonight. What are we
tonight.
Watching tonight? What are we watching?
Won. Got Mercury basketball tonight. They're taking on the Mystics at 7 o'clock. Locally, that's all we've got on. I know there's some preseason action going on in the NFL. I think the Patriots are playing tonight. I know what you're not going to be watching. You're not going to be watching the Jason Momoa Apple Plus.
Oh my God,
C
that was
show.
Terrible. I watched one episode and I'm like, okay, I'm done. Like
I'm glad I didn't recommend that one to you. That's not my fault. No, I didn't have anything to do with that. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, yes, triple match Friday on a Thursday. Why are we doing it? Phoenix Children's Hospital. That's why. And we hope you're getting involved. We'll encourage you to do so next on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station in the Arizona Sports app. Giveathon on the Burns and Gambo show.
Yeah, we're doing a triple match right now. The Desert Financial phone bank is wide open. 602-933-4567. 602-933-4567. It was supposed to be triple match Friday tomorrow. We don't have a show tomorrow because the Cardinals are taking on the Chiefs in preseason action. And
so we took it upon ourselves.
We did.
To do a triple match right now, your money gets tripled dollar for dollar. You donate $100, it becomes three. We've done this for many, many years. This is absolutely the best time to call.
Absolutely.
The best time to call right now. Because if you donate, if you become a champion of hope, $20 a month, you're really giving $60 a month because the money is matched. Call 602-933-4567.
Yeah, the triple match Friday, which is actually now on a Thursday because we cheated, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We thank them for sponsoring the triple match. And we also want to thank Walgreens for this generous check presentation.
Hello, my name is Vicente, and I'm representing the Walgreens company today. We're happy to be part of this year's Giveathon. We have been a proud partner of the Phoenix Children's Hospital for going on 27 years now. So thanks to all our amazing customers for making a donation at our registers in all of our locations. With their help, we were able to present this check for over $72,000.
Whoa.
We encourage the community to call the phone bank at 602-933-4567 and support this year's Giveathon. On behalf of Walgreens and the entire Phoenix area, thank you, Phoenix Children's, for being there for our community. Our kids can't wait, and you are there to provide hope and strength.
Wow, 72,000.
Thank you, Walgreens.
Wow.
Bravo to Walgreens for that big time check presentation right there.
My wife spends a lot of money at Walgreens.
Thanks to all of the local businesses that have gotten involved. Man, we really, really appreciate it. Why should you call in the middle of this triple match? Not only is it a triple match, but it's because of the great things that Phoenix Children's Hospital does, and that includes this story we're about to give to you right now, the story about Izzy. After a life-threatening liver condition that required surgery for their two-month-old daughter, Stephen and Carol thought they were on their way to a routine family life with their firstborn. Nothing routine about this story at all, and the work Phoenix Children's put in to exhaust their resources and knowledge trying to save her. This is Izzy's story.
I'm Stephen Simpson.
And I'm Carol Simpson.
And this is Izzy's story. I can't remember who was the first one to call her Izzy, myself or Mom. Izzy just always stuck.
We went to a routine two-month checkup with her pediatrician, and during the checkup, she noticed that she was a bit jaundiced. 3 days later, we were in surgery with her.
And the surgeon came out and told us, he says, she does have biliary atresia.
Basically, it's your bile ducts, some point between when she was born to about 2 months, they close up, creating like a liver cirrhosis.
The surgery was a success.
You couldn't tell anything was wrong with her other than her scar and her taking her meds in the morning and at night.
You know, we thought we had jumped over a big hurdle. And we did. She was doing fantastic. Time goes by. It was February 12th. We were outside in our backyard, and Isabella let out a horrifying scream. And Mom's instincts kind of took over and said that scream just didn't sound right. And as soon as we got to PCH, they took her back to give her a CAT scan, and they told us that she had a stroke. So we're back to square one. First child, 3 or 4 or 5 different machines hooked up to her.
There was pretty much nothing that you could do at that point.
That's where we were at. There was nothing that we could do except to be with her until the end. And, you know, I mean, they did everything they could for her, and we know that. And, yeah, I mean, when they told us there was nothing else they could do, as hard as it was for us to accept, I think we knew that we had to let her go. She was our first, and actually we're really excited and happy. We actually have an 11-week-old son at home.
Stephen, you know, he looks so much like his sister already. You can tell they're siblings. And they always say after you lose a child, to have another child, it's the rainbow baby, and it definitely is. We say that he was handpicked by her in heaven, so... It's helped me smile again.
The rainbow baby.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know.
Letting go of your child. I mean, oh.
Yeah.
Way to send me out in tears.
It's hard stuff to hear.
It doesn't get any easier. You could hear this. I've heard that one before, and it makes me cry again. I mean, again, parent is not supposed to bury a child. There's no greater pain in the world than burying your child. There's nothing that's worse in his life than burying a child. Nothing. There's nothing that anybody could think of that's worse than burying your own child.
But Phoenix Children's Hospital doing everything they can do to prevent as many of those as they can. And Phoenix Children's Hospital, truly one of the best children's hospitals in America, if not the world. And we're lucky enough to have it right here in our backyard. This is a time when our community rallies, our community comes together, people make donations, businesses make donations. And as we've said before, we have decided that we're doing the triple match right now. So we've got a match going on as we speak from the Valley Hyundai dealers. A triple match right now. We've been doing it all the 5 o'clock hour. Tomorrow's going to be triple match Friday. We decided that...
Triple match Thursday. Yeah, we do a Fruit Tuesday and a triple match Thursday. That's us.
That's what we're going to do.
By the way, I saw a rainbow on my way home yesterday from work.
Yeah. 602-933-4567. 602-933-4567. In honor of the rainbow that was out there yesterday, please make your donation and take advantage of the triple match going on right now presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers. And when you become a champion of hope, we throw another teddy bear on the train, Teddy Bear Express, which is on its way upstairs with all the people who are calling in right now. We got lots of teddy bears to take upstairs to the kids at the hospital. The train Teddy Bear Express. Please again call 602-933-4567. Gambo, we've got less than a minute left.
Yeah, there's no better way to end the day than having you make a donation right now. We're going to take this right up for another 5 or 6 minutes, so you have 5 or 6 minutes to get your donations matched. Dollar for dollar match. Become a champion of hope. That's $20 a month, and your 20 becomes 60. Donate 100, and it becomes $300 by calling 602-933-4567.
Get a tote board update right now. And our tote board update reads $1,305,000. Wow. $1.3 million is where we stand right now with one more day to go. You still have a few minutes to take advantage of the triple match. Thank you for donating. Thank you for calling in. The Big Red Rage is coming up next with special guest Christian Kirk. We will not have a show tomorrow on the Burns and Gambo Show. We'll see you Monday at straight up 2 o'clock.
Have a great night, everyone.